Hello, and welcome back to, or if you're here for the first time, welcome to Epicenter. My name is Camilla Foy, and today we're going to talk about something that often shapes the daily realities of epilepsy, but don't always get discussed openly: learning disorders and intellectual disability. These conditions overlap with epilepsy in powerful ways, and they can change not just how someone experiences school or work, but how they move through life in general. Before we get into epilepsy specifically, let's start with what these terms mean on their own. A learning disorder, sometimes called a specific learning disorder, isn't just about struggling in school. It's when a child or adult has persistent difficulties in reading, writing, or math that don't improve even with proper teaching and practice. Dyslexia, for example, affects reading. Dyscalculia makes math especially difficult. And written expression disorders affect things like spelling and written communication. These aren't caused by laziness or lack of effort. They're rooted in how the brain processes information. Intellectual disability is a little different. It refers to significant challenges in both intellectual functioning, like reasoning and problem solving, and in adaptive skills, the everyday things people need to live independently and socially. For someone to be diagnosed with intellectual disability, these challenges have to begin in childhood, not adulthood, and the focus is less about a single number on an IQ test and more about the kind of support someone needs in daily life. In the general population, learning disorders affect close to 9% of children, while intellectual disability is closer to 1 to 2%. But when we turn the lens towards epilepsy, the numbers change dramatically. Roughly 1 in 3 children with epilepsy has a learning disorder, and about 1 in 5 people with epilepsy also has an intellectual disability. And it's not just the prevalence that's higher. The way these challenges show up can be different too. For example, someone with epilepsy might struggle with attention and processing speed, and those difficulties can fluctuate depending on whether they've recently had a seizure, how well they're sleeping, or what medications they're taking. Memory can be another big one. Kids sometimes study hard for a test, only to find that the information doesn't stick, a problem linked to sleep disruptions and abnormal brain activity between seizures. Language can also be affected. Some people have trouble finding the right words. Others struggle to understand or express themselves clearly. And in rare syndromes, like Landau-Kleffner, language skills can actually regress after seizures begin. Reading, writing, and math are all vulnerable, but math in particular, skills like problem solving and number sense, tends to be one of the most common areas of weakness in epilepsy. These patterns look different from what we usually see in the general population. In kids without epilepsy, learning disorders often appear in just one domain, like reading or math. But in kids with epilepsy, the difficulties are more widespread, spanning multiple areas at once. These reasons are layered. Part of it comes down to shared causes, like same brain abnormalities or genetic factors that contribute to epilepsy can also underlie learning and intellectual challenges. But epilepsy itself can play a direct role. Seizures, abnormal brain activity during sleep, and even the medication used to control seizures can all shape how the brain learns and remembers. Medication is an especially delicate piece of the puzzle. Some anti-seizure drugs are known to slow down thinking or interfere with word finding. Others are considered more cognition friendly. And some, though effective for seizure control, can sometimes worsen irritability or behavior. That means treatment plans have to balance seizure control with the cognitive and behavioral side effects, which isn't always easy. So, how do clinicians and educators respond to these challenges? The first step is recognizing them early. Guidelines from groups like the American Academy of Neurology recommend screening children with epilepsy for cognitive and developmental problems within the first year after diagnosis. From there, formal neuropsychological testing can pinpoint specific weaknesses and guide school supports. In the US, children can qualify for individualized education programs, or IEPs, which lay out specific goals, accommodations, and services like speech therapy, occupational therapy, or specialized reading programs. Even smaller adjustments, like extra time on tests, permission to record lessons, or testing in a quiet space, can make a big difference. On the medical side, the focus remains on optimizing seizure control while minimizing cognitive side effects. For some, that might mean adjusting medications, adding a ketogenic diet, or even considering surgery or neuromodulation therapies. The goal isn't just seizure freedom, but a better overall quality of life, one where learning and independence can grow. Still, there are major gaps. Prevalence studies vary widely depending on how learning disorders are defined, so we don't always have clear numbers. Research on how interictal spikes, those bursts of brain activity that happen between seizures, affect learning is suggestive but incomplete. We also lack strong, long-term studies comparing the cognitive side effects of different anti-seizure medications in children. And perhaps most importantly, there are very few intervention studies designed specifically for people with epilepsy. We borrow evidence-based strategies from the general learning disorder field, but we don't yet know if tailored programs could better meet the unique needs of epilepsy patients. Here's the bottom line. Learning disorders and intellectual disability aren't side notes in epilepsy. They're central to how many people live with the condition. They affect education, independence, and quality of life just as much as seizures themselves. Recognizing them, treating them, and researching them with the same urgency as we treat seizures is essential if we want to give people with epilepsy the best chance at thriving. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Epicenter. I hope this conversation shed some light on an area of epilepsy care that often doesn't get the attention it deserves. Have a good week, and I'll see you next time.